Well, good morning, Westwood. And I want to say how glad I am to be with you here today. 2021, wow, I don't know if I should say Happy New Year or not. Some of you are feeling maybe like there should be some sort of terms and conditions that we agree to before the year begins. But again, Westwood family, you have been so generous. And we want to thank you for that. Thank you for believing in our vision to bring Jesus into life. And today's story is where one man, Philip, brought Jesus into life in an amazing way. But the bigger story is who he brought Jesus to. When I was a young adult, I spent 3 years working in a volunteer capacity, just visiting inmates in Prince Albert Penitentiary. Every Monday night, I would go there, and the group I was with, we would visit with inmates who didn't receive visitors, who didn't have any connections with the outside world. And one of the times I sat down and the chaplain came up to me, he said, listen, the guy you're visiting with today is really broken. He's actually a prison prostitute. He's an outcast in the prison and outside of it. And so he's going to have a really hard time making eye contact with you. He lives in constant shame. And so I sat down, shook the guy's hand, and we started talking sort of in an awkward way. He just looked down at the table constantly. I asked him questions about his life, about his hopes, that sort of thing. Just wanted to be an encouragement to him. And as we were talking, he never looked at me once. And it was then that I realized this guy is a complete outsider. Within the prison, he's just a commodity. Within himself, he was an outcast. You could tell just by the way he talked, the way he behaved. And I thought only a miracle could restore this guy to wholeness. Then the chaplain, he came up to him and said, you are worth more than you think. This person across from you came to visit you on purpose to hear your story. He's here because of Jesus. And you can make eye contact with him when you talk to him. And he actually started, you know, the eye flutter up to look and then back down. But it completely changed how I viewed everyone, including myself, with those words from the chaplain. Most of us have gone through seasons where we feel like complete outcasts, complete outsiders. Like we don't even fit in. But as I looked at this guy sitting across from me, I knew something. No one is beyond God's reach. You know what? Just say that. Say no one with me. Wherever you are, kids, if your parents are sitting there and they're not saying it, just stare at them until they say no one is beyond God's reach. Type it in the chat. No one is beyond God's reach. Not you, not me, not your roommate, not your family, not your teacher. No one. And we're back in our series, Be the Church, and we're in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 today. And it's the story of Philip and a person we know only as the Ethiopian eunuch. And a eunuch in the ancient world was often made that way to fulfill a specific role, such as protecting females or singular dedication to serving a royal family. But it was somebody who could not reproduce. They've had all of those organs removed, and they called the eunuch. Philip, on the other hand, was one of seven men mentioned in Acts chapter 6. And these men were appointed to oversee the giving of the aid to widows. And it says that these seven men were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And by the time we reach Acts 8, the church, it's exploded with people coming to Christ. And the church is growing, and they all of a sudden become a threat to the main faith system in that area, Judaism. And because of this growth, many priests chose to follow Jesus. And a persecution started with this infant church. And as it broke out, the Christians in Jerusalem, except for the disciples, or the apostles, they fled to safer places. But this was just stage two of God's plan to spread the good news of Jesus. Remember back in Acts 1:8 when Jesus told the disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And these new believers, they were scattered. And as they were scattered, they shared about Jesus wherever they went. which would have been Judea and Samaria. And Philip headed south to a city in Samaria, and during his time there, many people were healed, and God brought joy in that city. And other apostles were sent there, Peter and John. And this is where we pick up the continued story of Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. And it starts in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Most of the time, we would talk about Philip and how he was in step with the Spirit, which he was. But I think the message we need for our experiences today in 21 is the story of the Ethiopian. This guy was a big deal in a powerhouse nation of that time. He handled all the money of his country. Ethiopia was also known as Cush, and it was the gateway to trade with all of Africa. And it had a long history with Israel going back to the time of King Solomon. And Judaism had even spread to Ethiopia, and it took root there. And today those people are called Beta Israel, or Ethiopian Jews. And the eunuch was probably one of these people. He was someone who followed God and even followed the Jewish practice of going to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. He would have been highly educated and probably was familiar with some of the Old Testament scriptures. But the problem was he hadn't been introduced to Jesus yet. He also had a few glaring problems when it came to Judaism. He was a eunuch and a foreigner. He was an outsider. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, this is what it said about eunuchs. "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." So most likely this applied to foreigners who through pagan worship had done this to themselves in devotion to another god. And in rabbinic literature, someone who was a eunuch, either by someone's hand or because of injury or illness, whether foreigner or Israelite, they weren't necessarily considered rebellious, but they also weren't considered a full man. So they were less than. He was less than. And it wasn't that they weren't allowed in Israel. They were most likely excluded from festivals and probably some of the ceremonies. And they would have had limited access in the temple courts. Have you ever felt like a complete outsider, an outcast? Maybe with God or even the church? I know I have. And sometimes I've been so low with how I see myself in front of God that I wonder if it's even worth it. Maybe you've made a mess of your life and you feel unlovable. Maybe you think that God is some, you know, cosmic puppet master, and no matter what you do, you feel like a disappointment. Maybe you think you have nothing to offer him, so you despair. And these are all normal feelings. The eunuch felt like an outsider. He couldn't help it. He was one. Yet there was something at work in him to the one true God. And he worshiped God. And something we see in him is his situation did not dictate who he worshiped. He could have blamed God for it. He could have blamed the religious leaders for the way they treated outsiders. He could have given up. Instead, he traveled 2,000 kilometers one way to visit the heart of Judaism and worship God there. Recently, I was watching this video by Rebel Media, and the interviewer was talking to another believer of one of the churches that have chosen to stay open down in the Lower Mainland. And the reporter asked this question: "How does it feel to not be allowed to worship God in Canada?" And folks, if a shutdown is enough to stop us worshiping God, then something's off with us, not with God, not with our country, not with anything. My situation does not dictate who I worship. Shutting our buildings down only impacts the mode that we're used to. Right now, this building, it's basically being used as a film studio. But we're still coming together with thousands of other churches to point our hearts and minds toward God. I don't care about who you are what you've done. Your situation does not have to dictate who you worship. Look at the hope God gave to all eunuchs and foreigners in a prophecy in Isaiah. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. So this eunuch was a man who had hope in God, even though his body and his nationality were against him. But his heart and mind, they were completely on the right track. So let's keep going with the story at verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The eunuch was reading a passage of scripture that's often used at Easter. It's from Isaiah 53, and it's a prophecy given about Jesus 700 years before Jesus was even born. And obviously, the eunuch had access to the scriptures, maybe even all of them. He knew enough to see that it was talking about someone, but he hadn't heard about Jesus yet. Philip, brought by the Spirit into the wilderness, he runs into this complete stranger and gets to share the good news of Jesus. What's even more amazing is these early evangelists, they would have been using the Old Testament scriptures to point to Christ. So Philip brought him up to speed by talking about baptism, maybe even using Peter's words to the first believers in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. For today, Jesus is the good news. The program that we use to get our services online is called the Church Online Platform. And it's being utilized by over 50,000 other churches. And they just did some statistics recently. And over 2,000 people are committing their lives to Christ every day since March. People are looking for hope. We're seeing a revival online that is just astounding. And that hope can only be found in Christ. It can't be found in governments or finances or education or planning. It can only be found in Christ. In Jesus' own words, he said, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. At some point in their conversation, the eunuch obviously committed his life to follow Jesus, knowing that baptism was a step of obedience to make his life a witness that he follows Christ. He took that step. And what the Ethiopian found was grace. He was welcomed into this new family. Grace saved him. Grace that he was not an outsider any longer. He was in a family. Grace that his situation didn't impact his welcome into the loving arms of his Savior. Not because of anything he could have done, but despite what he had done. Grace that even though his sins were great, God's grace was greater. And then the truth freed him because someone was there to explain the words of the Bible and who they pointed to. Truth freed him to fully embrace being a follower of Jesus in baptism. It goes on in verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, in obedience to God, had brought the good news. And there's a beautiful passage in Romans 10 talking about people who bring good news. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I just turned 50 last month, and I have to say that the last 25 years of my life were harder than the first 25. And in the last number of years, I've gone through long seasons where I felt like an outsider, like I have nothing to offer. I've had words spoken to me that just cut so deeply. I've been in despair at times, and I've wondered if I was even needed here any longer on the earth. And I've walked with other guys in my age who have felt the same way. I've even joked that maybe we start a support group for guys in their 40s and 50s. And I felt the pain of God being completely silent. Of others seeming to hear the words of God and being cynical whether they actually had or not. And I felt like a failure, like I wasn't worth the effort. But God didn't let go of me. I was never beyond his reach, even though sometimes I wanted to be. And I had someone who spoke the good news over me, who spoke the truth that freed me. And it was my wife, Lisa. One day she just said, came up to me and she said, you know, you don't actually have to receive what's being said over you. And in that instant, the Holy Spirit just lifted a burden, and I was freed. What I knew and held on to was that his grace had saved me. I was his child, and I always would be, and nothing could change that. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It was something I could not earn. I simply had to receive. And it was God's truth that freed me. In John 8, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my true you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are not beyond God's reach. And so today, just a challenge. Take one step towards Jesus. The eunuch took the step of baptism. It just made sense to him after what Philip had told him. And history tells us within a very short time, Ethiopia became the heart of Christianity in East Africa. By the 4th century, there were so many churches that the king of that time made Christianity the state religion. Was it because of this brief encounter between Philip and the eunuch? Two ancient historians, Irenaeus and Eusebius, thought that the eunuch shared the good news of Jesus to his people. And later, one of the disciples, Matthew, would also visit Ethiopia, all because of one step towards Jesus. So what might be one step for you today? Maybe you've been avoiding committing your life to Christ. Maybe you felt you're not worthy. Maybe you've been trying things on your own and you're tired of living independent from God and you want the same relationship that this eunuch had with him. Maybe a step for you is to commit your life to Jesus. And if you want to do that, just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need you to save me. And I know it's only by your grace that that can happen. Cleanse me of my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. And I commit my life to following you. In your name, amen. If you did that, we don't want you to walk this road alone. So in the chat, there's a little button there. You can click it. It says, I committed my life to Christ. And it'll take you to our website where you can fill out a form. And we want to get resources into your hands and connect you with other people who are willing to walk with you in this new journey. Maybe some of you, you've been around the church for a while, and you actually need to take that step of baptism where you say, I want to publicly state that I follow Jesus. And we're not stopping baptisms just because the building is closed. We can still do them. And if you want to take that step and take that extra, you know, step of obedience in following Christ, you just need to let us know. And you can email the church office, office@westwoodchurch.bc.ca, or there'll be a link on the front page of our website, and you can click on that and sign up that way. But we want to help you do that. Maybe you need to join a life group. Maybe you've been doing things on your own for so long. You love Jesus, all of that, but maybe you need to take that next step of entering into community with other people. And that could be a next step. Why don't you visit the front page of our website? There's a button there that says join a life group. Maybe this year is an exercise where you go, you know, I haven't really been given consistently to anything, and I need to take some of my income and regularly give that maybe to Westwood, maybe to another organization that helps people follow Jesus. Maybe that's a next step. Maybe you have a friend and you've just been holding off on telling them that you're a follower of Christ, or even maybe that they need to know who Jesus is. Maybe you need to take that step. Maybe you need to serve in our church and community. Serving in the church right now, it looks a little different. It's more getting our Sunday services online, but there's opportunities to lead life groups. Social media and the internet now has become a primary tool of sharing Jesus with people, and it's incredible what's happening online with the church. Maybe you want to serve in that way. We need people engaging others on social media. Maybe you want to be a host for our chat and get that going. What will your step be? Because we don't have to live like outsiders. Jesus made a way for you and me to be brought into his eternal family. And it's only through his grace that we're saved. And it's only through his truth that we are freed. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much. That you didn't come just to save the good people. You came to save sinners. And I thank you for saving me. And I thank you for still working in our world today to bring your good news to people. And I just pray for everyone today who's feeling like an outsider, like an outcast, that you would bring a healing word and a healing touch to their lives. That they would know that it's your grace that saves them. Nothing of their own, but your grace. And that it's your truth that frees them. And the truth is, when we give our lives to Christ, we are children of God. And so I ask that as we head into 2021, that you would also help each of us to be people of grace and truth with the world around us, with our family, with our roommates, with our friends. And we thank you for never giving up on us. Amen.